You're back listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR, your radical community radio. And good morning, listeners. I'm Chloe, and we are now joined on the line by Nat, who's a Palestinian and a spokesperson for Hume for Palestine, to give us a live report on another community picket being held or being organised at Heat Treatment Australia factory in Campbellfield. Welcome back to the show, Nat.
Oh, thank you. Good to be back.
Yeah, really good to have you. So you, along with other community members, are demanding the closure of the Heat Treatment Australia weapons manufacturing facility for its role in arming Israel. And just for listeners out there who might not know about this campaign, can you just quickly tell us what HTA is making?
Yeah, absolutely. So HTA, as you said, Heat Treatment Australia, here in Hume. It's a really beautiful community campaign, actually, that started a few months ago. And I believe that this is week 15 of picketing outside of this facility. Right here in the suburb, they manufacture parts to the F-35 fighter jet, which is used in, by the Israeli occupational forces to bomb and murder innocent civilians in Gaza and other places in Palestine as well. And so basically the parts that are very significant to the assembly and the manufacturing of this weapon are treated right here. And so that is why, you know, the community has decided to come together and picket and stop workers from entering this facility to disrupt the supply chain of this very devious weapon.
Yeah, we're really happy that you're continuing to organise, particularly, well, you know, that it's week 15 now, and you and other activists have been organising these community rallies and pickets since February, I think.
Yeah.
Would you be able to give us an update on the campaign and also tell us what it's like on the ground this morning?
Yeah, I mean, we arrived here at 5 a.m. There's probably about 50 people here now, which is actually quite remarkable. It's a rainy, cold, you know, Friday morning, but people are still very committed to the work that we are doing. People are committed to standing in solidarity with Palestine. And we are seeing, you know, across the movement, but also specifically in this campaign, that people are ready to take it a step further. You know, we rallied outside of the facility for a few weeks, and then we were shutting them down. And then the last rally that we had, the factory didn't actually shut down, which is why we moved on to a picket. But a picket is just a peaceful assembly outside of the factory that stops workers from going in. And so it's really quite incredible to see that picketing is becoming the norm, and that places across this continent and even, you know, across the globe are looking at campaigns like these ones, like Hume for Palestine, as, you know, we're using effective tactics and our strategy is spot on in utilising these non-violent direct actions to disrupt the supply chain. And so, you know, there are pickets, but also we have community events where families come together. Just on Monday, we had a really, really good rally outside of the Hume City Council, where the council usually meets. There were incredible speakers, there was food, and a lot of community is coming out in support of this campaign. So yeah, it's a really brilliant thing to see it continuing. It takes a lot of effort and it takes a lot of time to organise, but we are still here and we will continue to be here until HTA cuts its contract. With the Genocide Institute of Israel.
Nat, hi, this is Zane here. I'm just wondering, is there much discussion when you're on the picket? I imagine there's probably a lot of political discussion about the situation at the moment. Have you sort of discussed some of the ICJ rulings and things that are happening in the International Court of Justice, looking at how countries like Australia are complicit by continuing to supply weapons and components?
Yeah, absolutely. There's all types of discussions here, right? We talk about the political situation overseas. We talk about the movement here. We run upskilling sessions. Just finished running a police liaison training, which, yeah, I think people really enjoy coming here and doing these workshops. In terms of the ICJ ruling. I think that what we are starting to see is that people don't trust international law anymore in the way that maybe they did 6 months ago. We were raised in an environment where we were told that international law will and justice will prevail. And what we are seeing now is that actually imperialism is what rules above everything, and that lawyers and courts and these systems can say whatever they want and they can condemn, but at the end of the day, we're seeing that Israel is getting away with the genocide that they are inflicting on Palestinians. And so that is why the community has had to take it within their own hands. If the international systems of justice were effective and they were actually working, then people wouldn't actually have to do this because then Israel would have been sanctioned by now. Australia would have stopped exporting arms to Israel, which we continue to do. So this is why we have escalated to picketing and disruption because these courts of justice are not actually delivering justice.
Word. The boss's courts, boss's laws. Just quickly, I was hoping you could comment on Penny Wong's comments a couple of weeks ago when the World Central Kitchen convoy was bombed in Israel. Penny Wong tried to argue that Australia doesn't export weapons to Israel.
Yeah, we've heard this a lot, which is, it's, I don't want to swear, but it is not, it's not true. Yes, we do not export full weapons, but actually right here in Australia, in most of our suburbs, in most of our states, we are manufacturing critical and significant parts to many weapons that are then exported to other places in the world to be assembled into the weaponry that is being used by Israel. We've got you know, Lockheed Martin, we've got Boeing, EOS Engineering, Elbit, HTA. There are so many companies across this continent that are complicit in the genocide. And so this is this form of gaslighting that our so-called leaders are utilizing to basically not be held accountable for the fact that they are complicit in this. Australia, or so-called Australia, is complicit in this genocide. There is evidence. We have research published. There are prominent people talking about it. We know that they're complicit. And just on Monday, people in Adelaide took to Penny Wong's office and they did a massive die-in and they shut her office down for the day to let her know that she is complicit and that she cannot continue to lie to the Australian public in this way.
Yeah, and just to add a kind of extra kind of comment there, I mean, one of the most dishonest things about the Albanese government's kind of comments is it's almost like they're sort of very much distorting the current, I guess, the contemporary situation around what actual warfare is actually like, because they're almost trying to create this impression that, oh, we're not directly selling AK-47s or firearms, but actually, in reality, modern warfare is defined by drones and all sorts of advanced technology, including F-35 fighters, which at the end of the day, our country is actually providing weapon components for. So it's completely dishonest for the Albanese government, and it's also very misleading. It's almost like they think we're stupid. That
absolutely
in a lot of ways.
Yeah, absolutely, and it goes off the fact that it has been a very deliberate way of hiding the truth for a very long time, and putting this this veil of innovation and technology over basically what is weapons manufacturing. And so we know that Elbit Systems are starting a new innovation center somewhere in Melbourne. We don't know where it is yet. But, you know, they are engaging with universities to try and grab people in engineering and in STEM to come and be part of this under the veil of innovation. But it actually is basically developing weaponry that is more efficient and more effective at murdering people. It is completely devious.
Now, just to follow up, Nat, with a kind of concluding kind of question, like any kind of final comments for you, but also how people can, who are listening, because there's so many different, there's a lot of good campaigns now, including HGA. There's been a campaign against Elbert Systems sort of launched, but there's also been direct actions in Dandenong. Like for people, for Palestinian activists who might have not gotten involved in, you know, the kind of direct actions again around disarming Israel, you know, how, what are some of the things that people can do to, you know, to get involved in these kind of campaigning?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, direct action is just one arm of the movement, right? And we understand that it's not for everyone. So there is many different ways that people can contribute. And right now, we don't need two or three leaders. We need hundreds of them to mobilize within their communities to keep us connected to the public. So the ways that people can take part could be really as simple as offering a helping hand online, maybe, to the people who are doing direct action. There's also a lot of ways to engage within your local community groups. There's pretty much a X for Palestine everywhere, right? And these groups do everything from petitioning to lobbying to holding peaceful rallies. And so there's so many things that people could do. And I think that education is something that is not being talked about very often, and storytelling as well. And so for those listening, you know, if you are Palestinian or if you are Arab from the Swana region, our stories are very important to communicate because people connect through storytelling. And so communicating these things and talking about our history, talking about our land, sharing the beautiful things about our culture, like our food and our music, our dabka, it does bring people in. We're 6 months into a horrific genocide, and it's kind of starting to be normalized, right? People get desensitized over time. And so I believe this is the time to be able to maintain momentum. We also, you know, we share the grief of our culture, but we also need to be sharing the joy and the beauty. And so that is something that I would like to be focusing on as well moving forward.
Yeah, really inspiring what Hume for Palestine are doing, Nat, and we hope this criminal factory shuts down or at least starts making something that actually benefits people and doesn't hurt people. I guess we need to wrap up the interview now, but is there anything else that you'd like to say before we do?
Well, just that there is another picket tomorrow morning, and so 5 a.m. again, it's 43 Lara Way. I mean, at the moment, it's just a really lovely space. We've got food and coffee, and people chatting, and we run some upskilling sessions. And so it's just a nice community space for people to come and get involved and see what part of the campaign they want to play. But also just to give credit to, like, the fact that this was started by community and it continues to be led by people deep in the community, and it is really inspiring after so many weeks to see it still going and be an example for pickets around the world.
Hope the rest of the picket goes well this morning. Nat, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Bye.
You were just listening to Nat from the HTA campaign. Nat's Palestinian and a spokesperson for Hume for Palestine. She was just giving us a live report on, I think, a community picket. They're in their 15th week at the Heat Treatment Australia factory in Campbellfield.